2 p.m. A loud explosion from the engine compartment, the sudden appearance of a jagged hole in the cowling, and a large reduction in power told the story. A cylinder had exploded, throwing its connecting rod through the sheet metal. The engine still ran, but with gallons of oil streaming out through the hole in the crankcase, Lowell knew the Chicago was doomed. Desperately, he scanned the tops of the trees for some place to land. Luck was smiling at him. 4 miles ahead lay a lagoon fed by a large stream. Les Arnold banked the airplane and headed for it. Lowell adjusted the throttle to maintain minimum power and took the controls. Lowell lowered the nose to maintain 60 miles per hour flying speed, accepting a sink rate of 1,000 feet per minute under partial power. They might just make it. At 2:28, Lowell skimmed over the tops of the palm trees, slipping to lose the last 50 feet. Relieved, he felt one pontoon touch the surface and gingerly set the other one down, maintaining a straight path using large rudder inputs. They were down. While the airplane coasted to a stop, Lowell cut off the fuel and ignition switches. Les jumped from the rear cockpit with his fire extinguisher and worked his way forward on the lower wing toward the large hole in the cowl. He braced his back on the wing struts and held the fire extinguisher with both hands aimed and ready to trigger it at the first sign of fire. Their luck continued. Despite the popping, hissing, and wheezing of overheated engine parts, there was no sign of fire. Over the tops of the trees, Lowell spotted the other cruisers landing in a trail behind him. They didn't dare shut off their engines on landing, but taxied over. Lowell pointed to the large hole in the cowling. Above the din of the idling Liberties, Lowell indicated they were to go for help. A new engine was obviously needed. Jack and Hank passed the canteens of drinking water to Les, shouted some words of encouragement, and taxied to the end of the lagoon for takeoff. Within a few minutes, the Chicago sat alone in the lagoon with few signs of human habitation. For the first 30 minutes, crocodiles, birds, and chattering monkeys were the only signs of life, but Lowell and Les felt they were being watched by unseen eyes. This was confirmed when a dugout canoe with a single native paddled silently up to the side of the airplane. They had tied a mooring line onto a bamboo post sticking up from the mud bottom, and this was apparently his fish trap. Berating them nonstop in some obscure dialect, the native attempted to release their mooring line from his fish trap. Lowell checked the wind, and after satisfying himself that he would be blown into deeper water toward the center of the lagoon, he released his mooring line and gestured for the native to help them drop their own 60-pound anchor. Seeing their companion had not met some dire fate, other dugout canoes paddled out from their hiding places on the lagoon, and within a few minutes dozens of natives, clad only in skimpy breechcloths, were climbing onto the pontoons to get a better look at the huge flying monster that had dropped from the skies. Fortunately, their feet were bare, so no damage was done to the thin wooden floating hulls, but the imbalance threatened to capsize the cruiser, and they were summarily shooed back onto their own conveyances. After an hour of broiling in the hot sun, they saw another dugout being rowed toward them by a hollow-cheeked, light-skinned man clad in white robes, sandals, and a soiled sun helmet. Their spirits soared with thoughts of rescue, water, a good meal, and a comfortable bed waiting for them somewhere in the wilderness of the jungle. They sat on the lower wing eagerly awaiting their benefactor, anticipating the many questions he would ask. Closing within a few feet of the Chicago, the man asked them a question in French, which Lowell did not understand. Looking toward Les for an interpretation, Lowell was startled by the answer. "He wants to know how many cartons of cigarettes we have brought and says he'll only pay 2 cents for each carton." Les advised the man in his best pigeon French that they were no aerial tobacco salesmen. The man indicated his disgust at their uselessness, turned his boat, and paddled away in the direction from which he had come. leaving them both amazed and speechless.